Okay, can I kick it off? All right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for making it. It's very nice of you to make it on 8 o'clock. Obviously, there's probably no true developers in the room because they wouldn't be here. But I've got the introductory session on Visual Studio, and I find it funny that when I was trying to work out what to put in, a lot of the guys were telling me, look, there's this and that, and there's not that much. They didn't initially think there was a lot in there, but I think you'll find there was no way I could fit everything in. So I've picked out some of my favourite bits, and I've also put in some of the favourite bits from some of the guys in my office, so we'll see how we go. All right. Here is my agenda. I basically want to go through some of the web goodies in there, some unit testing in IntelliTrace. I want to talk to you about some of the extra bits of value in there, like the feedback tools and the storyboarding. Prior to that, I'm just going to kick it off with a little bit of history to put us in perspective, and I want to give you some IDE improvements first off, all right? Okay, I might just ask, how many people here have already installed Visual Studio 2012? Can you just keep your hands up? Okay, so that's the majority, that's at least three-quarters of the room. How many people are still stuck on 2010? Oh. Okay, so that's probably 40%, which doesn't make sense. All right. Maybe using both. Who's on 2008? Oh, okay. So maybe 15%. 2005, is there anyone on that? Come on, raise your hands. I just want to see how many. Right. Just a few. Okay. All right. Anyone on earlier than 2005, 2003? You're a maintenance programmer. Who do you work for? ATO. ATO? Oh, my God. That's a classic. All right. Anyway, you don't have to get much done, so it's all right. All right. All right. A little about me. I am the chief architect at SSW. We're a consulting company, mainly Sydney-Brisbane. We do mainly custom solutions, and I spend most of my time performing software audits and scrum mastering and stuff like that. We got any scrum masters in the room? Ah, a few more than last year. Okay, good. I'm one of three Microsoft regional directors in Australia. I'm an ASP insider. My favourite title, I think, would be I'm an ALM MVP. I talk to those guys in the team a couple of times a week, and I find it really fruitful. I got MVP of the year last year, and that's my Twitter handle. All right. So a little bit of history. If we go back to 2002, like the ATO program, this is like not history, but we got web forms, we got web services, and we got Windows Forms. And if you think about it, we're probably not using any of that for brand new solutions anymore. We also got nice color. All right. 2003, we got .NET 1.1. We got all this stuff for mobile devices. We got the compact framework, and nobody used that. We got enterprise templates, and we're not using any of that stuff now. 2005, if you ask me, this was the golden release of golden releases. ASP.NET 2.0 rocked, generics rocked, and finally we could press F5 and know that we could debug without worrying about IIS problems. We also got click once, and a whole lot more, but they're the primary things. And we're still using that stuff today. 2008, we got .NET 3.5, we got Link, which was awesome, right? Yes. All right. Okay. You don't want to go back to inline SQL, do you? We got Link to SQL, which we probably shouldn't have had let loose, because it confused people when we got Link to Entities. Then we got WPF, which also probably confused people when they were doing Windows Forms. And we got JavaScript and IntelliSense, which, you know, long term we got Link and JavaScript and IntelliSense. 2010. Well, it was a pretty good release. We got F#, which no one uses, I guess. Anyone uses F#? Oh, one guy. Okay. Okay, two. All right. Okay, so two pretty smart guys in the room. Are you actually building any problems? Financial models. And what are you doing?
Same.
All right, two of you. All right, so we got parallel extensions to make our code run faster. We got quick search. Finally, we've got some goodness that Microsoft got inspiration from ReSharper. And we got IntelliTrace, which I would call the golden goose, which hasn't really fulfilled its potential just yet. All right. So 2012, what do we get? Well, I know it's a little bit blacker and whiter, which I've heard from everybody. I'm sure almost all of you will put it on your evals about it's too black and white, but never mind. We got ASP.NET MVC4, which is awesome, frigging awesome. Anybody prefer, who loves MVC? All right, okay, I'd say it's 100% of the room. Does anyone like web forms still? Good, we didn't let them in. Okay, we got parallel computing so we can take what we had before to new levels, a little bit like SSIS style. Metro apps for Win8, because we all care about apps now. And this Surface, I'm heading over to build. I'm going to build just because I want a Surface. Isn't that sad? But never mind. I am very excited about that. And we've got the new Solution Explorer, which I hope you like. We've got WebSockets, portable class libraries for all those guys doing Xbox and Silverlight and Windows Phone, and they want to reuse more of the framework. And of course, we got lots of uppercase and lots of great. Now, one of the things I thought was interesting was when everybody was, like, there was a bit of a hoo-ha about the grey and the uppercase, I'm not really sure, it didn't worry me as much. And they did improve things a little bit in the release version, but one of the things I never got was nobody was really complaining, like all the IntelliSense was grey as well, like they were complaining a lot about the icons and all that stuff. I just thought that's the part I wanted my colour in, but anyway, moving on. So Metro, we got a new Metro look. We don't call it Metro anymore. It's called the modern UI style. Okay? Much cooler, isn't it? Okay. All right. So you need to do a Control-Shift-H, and it's all documented here. Now, I was only screwing with you. There is some colour. See? Was anyone freaking out? There's some colour here. All right? And that is some blue. All right. And in addition, I was only screwing with you. We do have color in IntelliSense. No need to have a heart attack on me. All right. So big ticket issues out of the way. Let's. I do find it interesting now when I look at code, you kind of see where code bases evolve from when I'm looking at different pieces of code. You've got the guys that the project started 1.0 and there's this using array lists and looping through. I always use sample code with Greek names because I think if anything's going to break code, Greek names will. And then you move on to 2.0 when we got these generic lists and it's this style and it's more object orientated. You get less code if you're using multiple types. And then you've moved on to 3.5 where you're using iQueryables. And the nicer thing about this is the way we query down here, okay? So this is like a more modern code base, you'll see. And then in 4.0, we got this thread-safe way of doing it, where you can see you've got add is empty, try take, try peek, and this thread-safe manner of working, which is used probably more in Windows style than web. But and then 4.5, we've now got new ways where you can create, in this case, a Greek and populate that, and then you can put the Greeks back into the person object. Be aware it's read-only, but it's pretty cool that you can cast backwards now. All right, moving along, I want to just talk about the UI. The UI has searching everywhere, and I will just basically tell you that if you use Control-E, you'd think to find anything, what would you think it might be? Control F, wouldn't you? But it's Control E. You can search everywhere, and some of the windows aren't control-y. You'll see in a sec, but I'll show you Solution Explorer, Team Explorer, and adding new items, adding new references as well. So let me just pop over here. You can see here we can just search here. Okay, we can go to Solution Explorer and see this. Now, in all the dialogues, it's control-E, but in all these things, which are called pages, it's control-semicolon. So I can just search on controller. Hopefully that will... Yep, there we go. And so now we have it all in here. So you might have seen a little bit of this in the productivity tools or Visual Studio Power tools or whatever they were. So that's how that works. And we also get the one click and it just shows you. And see how it's not opening up lots of windows because I'm only clicking once? Do you see that? All right. So that's pretty cool. What else? If I wanted to... what will I do? I want to show you. If I wanted to add a new item, any of these things up here, see it's control E, and I can search for MVC or something. Okay, and then it will filter down. Be aware, that is actually the same as in here. So in here, it's control E will take you up there. So it's consistent with Windows Explorer. One thing I do notice in here, because I always go control F works and control E works. So I wish Microsoft would make this control F, because I think it should be control F because F is fine, but anyway. Enough of that. So, and obviously there's even better things when you get to Team Explorer and we want to search work items. So you can just search a work item here and it will, I'm using TFS Preview, go up to the cloud and find, see I have no bugs because anyway, I don't write bugs. But yeah, that would find the right items. So you've got this Solution Explorer, which is cool. You've got Team Explorer searching. That's an example of the results. And you've got these add new items. And it's the same type of thing. All right. Add references. I wish they had given this to us 10 years ago, don't you? So now we can just search inside here. And it's a much better experience. Okay. Rightio, I do want to just tell you about this new model on the right-hand side. This new model, essentially you'll notice that there aren't all these dialogues popping up left, right and centre. One of the goals was to get rid of all the modal dialogues because people hated them, especially when they lost the network, you know, and there was, you know, was about 40 message boxes that would pop up trying to get connected again. So all that's been nailed, and I just want to just tell you the lingo that they use, because I've been corrected on a number of times writing bits and pieces for Microsoft. This is called a page, and this thing that you click on, see the bold headings? I'd call them headings, but Microsoft call them hubs. So you click on them, and then the bits underneath, these are called actions, or I'd refer to them as links, but that's how it works. And it's quite a nice experience. All right, so just be aware, pages, hubs, actions, and this bit down here is referred to as a section, and this is the correct notation. Go to Team Explorer and then click Work Items Hub. This will open the Work Items page. Then in the Queries section, expand Current Sprint and open the Test Cases query. Okay, hopefully you won't go through the pain I went through. But you may be thinking about doing plugins, so you might want to know those names in that case. And in that case, let's have a look. You got the iTeam Explorer page, and that gives you a whole page here. And then you got the iTeam Explorer section, and that's the section down here. And then you've got the bold things, which are called navigation items, and these are called navigation links. Okay, I would have called them... what would I call them? I just call it heading link and then child link. I think that'd be clearer, but anyway. All right. Anyway. So, let's move on. Things you never want to do as a developer. What are they? Write code. You are in the wrong spot.
Attend meetings.
All right. Yes, Visual Studio can't help much with that, but... Break the build, yes, I'll go with that. I'll talk about that in my other session about modern architecture. What was that?
Tell your boss that it'll only take an hour to do that.
Give your boss an estimate. Yeah, how do you get it out of that? What? How long will that take, Michael?
I'll get back to you.
I'll get back to you. All right, great advice. All right, fantastic. Do not repeat code. Yeah, I'll talk about that in my other session. All right, so I'm going to... What was that?
Repeat code.
Repeat code, yes. I'll talk about that one in my other session too. All right. So, I'll say hit F1. I think that F1 problem, the more developers I look at, I never see developers hitting F1 anymore. Basically, they find it quicker to go to Google, search all the way over to Redmond, even if they're searching MSDN, then press F1 on their own computer. So I find that pretty incredible. Like, you know, we have these full-text search engines like Lucene and things like that. You would think that we would solve it that way. Clicking on the com in the add references. I've done that a couple of times in one session and pretty much used up the session. So... closing a solution, I'm not sure if you're aware of this one, because some people don't close solutions very often, just like some developers don't check in very often. But if you have a significant project, medium to large, you'll see that there's a 30 to 45 second delay, like complete white screen of unresponsiveness. Anyway, all been solved. You can get yourself a coffee. Or you'll see that Microsoft, when you install it now, we have this... none option. Isn't that amazing? Progress. So when we install it, we can choose none. One of the things that you will notice, which I think is pretty cool, you've got this little drop down here. So, of course, if you're smart, you'll move it to Chrome, and I'll just open up one of these guys. And if I wanted to wonder what that was, and F1, it will just open... oh. Let me just try that again. I want it F1. Okay. So anyway, that's solved. You don't have to install any help, and you got F1 in your favorite browser. Okay. All right. Fantastic, isn't it? Gee. So, all right. Moving along. There's lots of performance tweaks. I'll tell you that I have a few guys I work with in some other companies that I would class as extremely advanced developers, okay? In fact, they wouldn't use 2010 because there was a couple of things that it was too slow for them. They have been exceedingly happy with 2012, and I thought that was the best validation I got when they were, you know, swimmingly happy, and they didn't care about the black and white. So there's lots of performance tweaks in loading the solution, adding references, opening the design, opening the toolbox. I'm not going to go through it all, but I do want to just... I put this link in there purely because if you wanted to, you know, show your boss or something like that, they have done all these performance tests on different things, and there's a little table here, and you can see that load solution, that one, is 89%... I think the web forms are probably the most important one here to look at. 89% faster, and the open design with toolbox, 93% faster, etc. So basically you're seeing getting close to double the performance of doing some of these operations, so that's pretty good. All right. Enough of that. All right. Adding references is super fast, and yeah, in terms of the com tab, nailed. So that is... I don't even know if I'll bother doing it, but adding a reference. Okay, we can click on com, no problem, see that. Can go Outlook. Okay, so all pretty good. Developer goodies. I want to just drop into this for a sec. Developer goodies. We have now CSS and HTML5. We couldn't do HTML5 before this version. Because we didn't get our IntelliSense, and that would be travesty. All right, so you can now debug in any browser other than IE, which is great. And we have this thing called the Page Inspector. How many people are familiar? How many people have used the Page Inspector? Okay, only a couple. All right. So about 6 of you. So that's going to be worth showing. All right. And there's all this HTML and CSS validation. So I will show you that stuff. You've got HTML5, better IntelliSense. You've got a color picker and things. So let me just drop into there. And we've got this thing. I'll just navigate to something. And you guys have seen this, I hope. Service ticket controller. Service ticket controller. Service ticket controller. Oh, tickets, sorry. Controller. Okay. So, anybody know a better way of searching for that than what I was just screwing around with? How many people? Put your hand up. A resharper. Oh, come on. All right. Yes. Point taken. Yes, resharper would be a better solution, but there is... Yes. All right. Pascal case or camel case, is it? So I could have done that one with STC. Okay? Hot tip? No. All right. Who thinks that's a hot tip? All right. Good. All right. So... you're not going to believe it. I'm embarrassed to say I only discovered that one last night. I've been typing the whole word out forever. There's nothing on... Where's the tip that tells you? There's nothing there that visually tells you. You would think after I've done it like 1,000 times it might point up. All right, I'll tell you now. You could just type the first 3 letters. All right. Anyway, I was so excited at 2 o'clock in the morning I tweeted that last night. Okay. So... All right, what I want to do now is just talk about that web stuff. So I'll just, I'll go into that layout thing. All right, so we've got a file like this. We can now, you'll see in the IntelliSense things that are in HTML5 only. So content editable might be an example. So it's there for you to learn. I can say content editable true or whatever, and in this case that would give me a nice rich text box if the browser supports HTML5. So essentially you can just learn a little bit more now. You can also go style, and we could go color, and I could go, if you, now I can choose one of these colors. Okay, and what if I want a custom color? What do? Hash, all right? And we get this. So now you can just pick what color you want. And if you don't want just those basic colors, you click this one, and now you can choose any color, all right? And look, developers are really clever, and they can use this opacity thing. So now, if we thought we were going to get ugly UIs before, all right. Yes, so obviously developers shouldn't be using this tool. But what I think would be okay, is, and I'll tell you the hottest part of this, the best part of this whole thing, is this little thing here. So you use that and you say, I want the same blue as what the designer gave me, and I'll click that guy, and now I've got blue, all right? So, or you could say, I will click that guy and I will have that orange down there in there. Okay, good. So that's awesome. All right, that's fantastic. All right, so that's, there's plenty more of that stuff. HSL colors, that's as much as I know about colors. What's a HSL color? Okay, someone that cares about colors, help that man later. All right, So we've got HTML and CSS. You can see all the HTML5 stuff coming through. You've got all the CSS styles will come through, which is very handy, very important. And obviously the color stuff that I just showed you. Okay, just remember that picker thing, whatever it is. All right, has that got a proper name, that picker?
Eyedropper, thank you. All right. Maybe you can help that man up there. Okay. All right. So, better debugging tools. So let's, I've just told you about that, where I can come in here and I can choose Chrome. So not only did it work with F1, it'll work with F5, and that will throw open Chrome, and that will just work beautifully. Yes. Okay. So I might look at this and go, what the hell? Why is Drew Robbins showing here when I haven't logged in? Okay. So at this point in time, what would you do? F12 and step through the code, put a breakpoint, typical type of approach. So I'm going to show you a couple of other techniques we've now got with 2012 and see if you like them. All right, I'll get rid of that thing. All right, so what we can do now is I'll just stop that, and you can change your output here to be this page inspector, which just, there's a few of you that have already tried this. But you try the page inspector because you want to, well, you might use Firebug today. So I'll press F5, and instead of what we had before, it will open up in here. And I now have, hold on. It will open up. How will it open up? I'm not used to being on this resolution. And I've lost my thing. Hold on. Hang on a sec. How do I find my little button that makes it look? I wonder if I can bump this font down. Is that it? Nope. Oh, this is great. I can't find the little thing to show you. Who would have thought? Ah, bugger. There's a bloody window down there. What was that? The window menu? No, it's not. That's going to suck. All right, how do I get there? I shouldn't have made fun of that color designer. God's punishing me. that is rotten. How am I going to get to that? Can I bump my font, my screen res? I'll try. Oh. Is that pushing the friendship? Oh, we'll see. Let me just try that again. So I'm pressing F5, and it should load into this page inspector thing. There he is there. And I'm going to be very careful. Okay, so I'm just going to get rid of that. Oh, that is what I shouldn't probably be doing. All right, let's just try. So I'm just want you to get familiar with pressing F5 and. What was that? Okay, so I'm. It's the window's down here, so just imagine you can see that. Oh, there he is. All right. Hallelujah, look at that. All right, there he is. So, what I have here, and this is harder than I thought to demo on this smaller screen, but you have this inspect thing. See this inspect? So, you would have seen similar type of experiences. I can hover over this guy's picture, and see in the top right-hand corner over there, you'll see in grey, profile.cshtml. So it's telling you where it's coming from. If I come up to this bit, it will say index.cshtml in the top right-hand corner up there. And if I go to this bit, it's showing, what is it showing? layout.cshtml. All right, so it's showing you where this stuff is coming from. So in my case, I'm wondering, why is this picture showing? So I can click on this picture, and you'll see that it highlights the current HTML, which is pretty cool. And I can see, well, that's not really what I wanted. And so now you can, There's the profile image. That's the class. So if you come over here, I could right click, and what I'm trying to see is that class profile image over here. But unfortunately, there's no find. But don't let that stop you. You can just go Control F, okay? And we go next, and I'll close that, and I'll move that over because I just want to know about profile image. And where is he? Is he up or down? Down. Oh, there he is. Okay, so there's profile image. And look, you can change all the normal stuff that you could do in, say, Firebug. Obviously, we could fix that problem because we don't want him showing, so we'll just turn him off. Okay, and it's all fixed. Fantastic. All right. Okay, well, that might not be the best way of fixing it, but it would be a quick fix if you worked at the ATO. So you could... The beauty of this tool is it's actually showing you the Razor stuff over here from the template. So that's the beauty of this thing. And in this case, well, I could do, you know, a more advanced fix, and I could kill that. And now it says up here, click, you've changed things. Just press Control Alt Enter. All right, Control Alt Enter. And, you know, I've not just removed it from the style now, I've removed it from the template. And, you know, this is a more advanced way of fixing it if you're at the ATO. All right. So part of the problem is that we're still returning that data in this case. So it might not be the best way of solving it, but in many cases, this is going to be a great first step to see what's going on. It's definitely client-side. Now, if we wanted a solution that showed us a bit more, the next we wanted to, you know, because what this doesn't tell us is what's going on with the controller. Anyone got any hot tips on how to see that? All right, how many people have tried Glimpse? Hands up. Keep your hands up. Okay. Glimpse, oh, really? Oh, what's your name? Anthony. Oh, maybe I should get you to come up and show this. All right. So that's a bit intimidating. Thanks. Right. Okay. So anyway, so with Glimpse, which is another tool, you can just grab that and let me just I can leave this running, but just be aware. Just grab that from your NuGet packages, and so if you come into NuGet. Oh, sorry. I can't do that while I'm running, but you'll just add those couple of libraries into MVC 4. Now, on the web page, I wanted to ask you, it says that you only support MVC 3, but it seems to work in MVC 4. Officially. Okay, so what I'm doing is completely unofficial, okay? So we need to, what's the command up here? GLI. Oh. All right. So what this does is this basically says this executes their code on the server. We'll turn this guy on. We'll click go back. And here we are. We can have a look at a bit more information here. So in this case, you'll see this little... There's a few steps before you can use it. They want to make sure that there's four steps so that you have to be smart enough to get to it. So if you can remember to click this thing in the little corner, now we're in business. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to minimize this. Last time I minimized this, I had all sorts of problems on this wrist. But here we have this. Now, what this Glimpse tool does is, as an MVC guy, you have problems knowing what route basically happened. And you can see on this one, it says, well, this is the home one, so it's going to be pretty simple, but it says I'm using the home controller and the index action and no ID. But if I was to click on one of these guys here, okay, now we can see on this particular page, let's have a look at what's going on here. We can see that it's used the service ticket controller. I'm just looking here. We're using the details action, and the ID is 1. Now, I'm sure a few of you are going to say, well, yes, that's real smart, because you can actually see up here that it's the service ticket controller, it's the detail action, and the parameter passed in is 1, okay? But in many, it gets much more complicated than this real quick, and this tool is absolutely awesome. So it shows you this stuff. It can show you more stuff about what's going on with the views. It's got this timeline feature as well, and this is cool because you can see up here, if you want to know why things are slow, why things are slow on the server side, you'll see, you guys can see which is slow. This green is taking up, so the view is taking up all the time. If I was to increase the size here, okay, we will see more about what's going on, and we can see that which views are taking up the majority of the time. Now, since I've got one of the Glimpse guys here, can I just make a suggestion to you? I don't want to see all the stuff I didn't write, so just give me a checkbox to hide all the Microsoft stuff so I can just see my stuff. Yeah, all right, thanks. All right. Yes, all right. Okay. So, and they have a nice user voice site, so go to user voice and everybody go and say that they want that one, okay? Because I just want to see my stuff. All right. And then I've got a few other ones, but I'll talk to you about that later. Anyway. All right. Is that cool? Who loves that tool? All right. So, is it really made in Australia? You have a friend from New York? Gee, I've been to New York. They're not very friendly at all, but all right. So, here we have the better debugging tools, and I've showed you that. I've showed you the Page Inspector. All you have to do is change this thing to Page Inspector and have a big resolution. Okay. So that will show you for that particular item what's going on, and that's one of the things. So you'll see this, you select the DOM elements, just like Firebug, shows the HTML, but what Firebug can't do is show all the razor source. So that's pretty cool. Who actually is very impressed by that Page Inspector? I just want to know. So most. Who's not impressed by it and wouldn't use it? You can tell me. So, oh, that's good. I didn't see a single hand. That's great. So 70% of you like it. All right, so as you can see, there's a couple of things that it doesn't do. I don't like having to be able to search, down for all the styles. So I think that should do that. I've already suggested that to the team, and apparently that will be in the first update. How many people are familiar that Microsoft are going to be releasing more regularly now? Okay, not many of you. Okay, so less than a quarter. But Microsoft are going to be having quarterly updates now. That's a big change from Microsoft's land, and I'm sure that's going to cause them a lot of turmoil being, shipping so regularly now. But you're going to see incremental bits of value keep popping in, and it's pretty exciting to see that happen. Just be aware that one thing I was just whinging about does work nice in Chrome, so when you select this, you'll see the right style. Okay? Sorry? Oh, can I change the resback? Thank you. Cheers. What you need to do is you need to get some glasses. Too late. It's not too late. I went to Brazil and I got my eyes done. For $300, they fixed it. And so I've never worn glasses since. It's really good. So if you can't afford, Australian prices, go to a third world country and get it sorted out. And it's, as far as I can tell, it's pretty good. Okay. All right. So, I just talked to you about Glimpse. And now when you add this, you'll see an extra couple of packages added into the project. You'll put that in your UI project, I assume, and then you're good to go. It's really important. It's pretty awesome. One of the things that I do notice, that guys get confused with, even when I've showed a few guys this stuff, and they've said, oh, right, well, if I've got Page Inspector, I don't need Glimpse, or I'm using Glimpse, I don't need the Page Inspector. So one's client-side, one's server-side. So just imagine that the, you know, Page Inspector is just like a dentist looking at your teeth, doesn't know everything that's going on. Glimpse is like the old colonoscopy, you know, goes right, does the whole thing. All right, and you still need, and hey, I just wanted to check something. So Redgate bought you guys. Okay, so what he just said was that it's still open source and still free, and that Redgate are now paying them, and next year it's going to be $500. And Fiddler, which is the other cool tool, that's gone to Telerik. Okay, so, all right, don't go to the dark side, mate, all right? We'll be watching you. We know what happened last time. Yes. All right. So anyway, this is very, very cool, this tool. I would recommend, if you're doing MVC, you got to get it. All right. So better debugging tools. So I haven't got this right in my head yet, but I do want to talk about it because I do think it's very important. There isn't like a specific rule on how you're going to debug, but there's going to be changes in the way that you debug these web-based apps. And like, if you have a situation where the date pick is not showing on your MVC page and you thought, I've done all the code, it should be there, I'm a bit confused. So what do you do at this point? Well, you'd use the Page Inspector first to see which view is rendering the field, okay? And then you get a bit of information. And hopefully that will fix up what the problem is. But if that's not the problem, then I think your second port of call would be to use Glimpse and then see which controllers are being hit, okay? And then, you know, then you're going to go for the good old breakpoint in C Sharp and step through. So I think if you're going straight for breakpoints, that's wrong. If you're going straight to Glimpse, I'd say that's wrong. That's probably the pattern I would start seeing, but we'll see how things emerge. Does that sound about right, Mr. Glimpse? Yeah, all right, at the moment. All right, so he's got plans to complete. Okay. Wow, it's very, you just heard it from Tech at Australia. Okay, we soon won't need the Page Inspector. Apparently Glimpse is going to do everything. We won't need breakpoints either, will we? Right, okay, good. Okay, so our investment in breakpoint learning hasn't been lost yet. Okay, so there will be other scenarios where this just doesn't make sense. So you have a page is showing a photo for a person that hasn't logged in, the one I just used then. It's not really relevant to go straight for the Page Inspector because you already know the wrong data's been returned. So the way I just did it then probably isn't the right way if you're going to be using it. So in that case, I'd go straight to Glimpse and see what controllers are being hit. And then if you can't work it out from there, then a good old breakpoint. All right? So, all right, any questions on that while we've got the expert in the room? No, good. All right. So, I just want to talk about unit testing. The unit testing experience in 2012 is quite different. It's essentially been rewritten. There's a guy, a new guy on board. His name's Peter Provost. He's very much into developers, and this is his thing. The new experience is focused on developers writing and running tests while they code. It's not for testers running them after the fact. Okay, so you'll see it's a little bit like nCrunch. Anyone ever used nCrunch? Okay, quite a few. All right, so 20% of you, that it's very much modeled on that style. It certainly feels similar to that. All right, so you'll see as you're coding, you'll see tests coming from any framework. So it's not just MS tests. You can have NUnit, you know, MBUnit, any of those. They'll all show up. You get your timings here. But most importantly, the important tests are shown at the top. All right, so it's a nicer view. Plus, you've got the normal search up here. and you've got a red-green bar. So you'll start seeing things without even having to open this window. All right. Now I want to talk to you about IntelliTrace. IntelliTrace is one of my favorite features. How many people actually use IntelliTrace? Wave your arm. I can't see anyone. All right. 1, 2, 3. Okay. All right. So just 3 or 4. This is something that you guys should really consider investing at least understanding, because we all get given doozies of problems, and this is incredibly useful at that point in time. So what we weren't allowed to do is we were not allowed to run IntelliTrace in production. It was against our rules and against the license rules, and we would never break those, right? And even if you did, you probably wouldn't want to install all the garbage that you would want to on a production server in the first place. Now you're allowed to run this IntelliTrace collector on the production machine. And I should just double check, because most of you, there's only a few of you that use IntelliTrace. IntelliTrace is, you turn on this thing, it's basically a recorder, you hit the bug, and then it creates this iTrace file. Can you believe Microsoft were allowed to create a file called iTrace? Yes. But I'm sure they'll get in trouble for that soon. And this iTrace file, the developer double clicks on it, opens up, and all the variables are set. So it's exact, you know, you can step backwards. Like, we used to call it historical debugging. It's a very, very cool thing if you want to know what's going on in someone else's machine. I have a dream that one day, you know how we, you know, a bug happens, and you know, some people call it a bug, some people call it a task, some people call it a PBI, some people call it a new user story and all these things. I have a dream. One day we will only call things bugs when we have an iTrace file. And here we have, because an iTrace file means that we can reproduce it. No such thing as can you reproduce this. You got the file and you can double click in it. And we know fixing bugs, the worst part of it is reproducing it. So you load the iTrace file into the dev machine, you locate the source of the error, you inspect the variables, and you can see the SQL queries and what's going on. Anyway, you can read all about it here, but I just want to tell you how it works. So they give you this cab file. Now, obviously, this cab file would be quite nice. You've got a Windows app. You could put this with your Windows app, and every time it hit a bug, you could let them turn it on. It would record it, and it would, you know, automatically send you the iTrace file, and you could fix bugs straight away. But anyway, or if you're talking about a server-side thing like a web app, you get this cab file, and you copy it over to the production server. You then fire up PowerShell, and you expand this thing, and it will expand out, and then you need to import the module, and then you need to say start. And at that point in time, it will start recording everything that's going on. So you go start, and then you hit the error. Okay, browse the website until you hit the error. We hit the error. Then you'll stop it. And by this time, you'll probably have a monumentally large file anyway. So we'll stop this thing, and now we've got an iTrace file. So we need to get that iTrace file, give it back to the developer. He'll open it back up in Visual Studio. So there's the iTrace file, and that was a short one. It's 42 megs. Okay. So then the developer double-clicks, opens that up, and he will look down these exceptions and try to work out which one. Now, obviously, you'll ignore all the Microsoft ones. And then you'll see this one is Fabricam Fiber, my one. So then we have a look at that. So exception, the error, you'll see the call stack there. And then you hit the button, start debugging. Now, we are now in the environment as though it's running on our machine, start debugging, and then it will go straight to the line, and you can see, well, that's probably null. Okay, that's the experience. All right, so I think IntelliTrace file will solve the problems about whether they're bugs or non-reproducible. I want to know how many people think that feature rocks. Okay, all right. So almost everybody has said it's an awesome feature and they'd love to be using it, which you can use it. I just want to put it in perspective for you, because I think devs get slightly overexcited about this. So I just want to tell you about how I kind of see this working. So you've had this IntelliTrace for years, and you should be using it. It's essential, I think it's close to essential, that your testers
are using Microsoft Test Manager, and when they bother finding the bug, that they give you the iTrace file with it. So I think that piece is just essential, and we've already had that for some time and we should be using it. So that's Visual Studio 2010 and Test Manager 2010, okay? That does that, and still, and it does it slightly nicer now, but you've got it today with 2010. And then testers report bugs, and then the work item is automatically created. The developers then double-click that iTrace file, and they're in business. Now, what if you've got a production problem, and the tester can't reproduce it, but it's definitely happening, and this will probably happen more and more with more multi-threading, async, you know, P-Link stuff, all that type of stuff. You're going to probably hit bugs that don't happen in your test environment. So what do we do at that point? Well, I think a lot of people will go straight to IntelliTrace for production. Now, just to put it in context, I kind of think the first thing you should be doing before doing what I just showed you, you know, extracting that cab file, et cetera, you should be looking in the log file before that. And then you should be asking, why doesn't this app have Elmahar running so I can have some information installed? Then you should turn off custom errors so you can see if you can see it quickly without installing all this stuff. Then you should ask the IT manager for remote debugging access, and if he gives it to you, make sure he gets sacked. And then we need 2012, and that's when you want to get on to installing that. So all I'm doing is putting that in perspective of when you would start using it. It's definitely important for some of those, you know, I've come across some of these bugs in some companies where it's costing them, you know, $20,000 a day. It's just dramatic. And they need, you know, it keeps happening, and it's very expensive. So you need tools like this to find it very quickly. I want to just call out a few more things. I know that I don't have much time left, but I want to call out a few other things. Exploratory testing. So MTM is good. MTM is Microsoft Test Manager, but it's not... It doesn't work exactly the way I'd like it. I work in Scrum teams most of the time, and an item like a PBI is not done until it's tested. So it's done and tested. Now it's very hard to get to that point, but essentially what you really want to do is you want a tester to see every time I complete a PBI, there's another one there to test. So this gives him that UI, but also you want to just say, look, I haven't created my test plans and test cases and test steps. You know, there's a lot of bits and pieces before the tester can start doing stuff. So that's why I think this particular piece is so important. They've added this do exploratory testing, which means just start testing. So all I really want my tester to do, if I can't be bothered setting up test plans, test suites, test cases, test steps, there's so much test plans, there's so much stuff there to do. I just want to say, here are my PBIs completed. Go ahead and test it. You know, you're meant to be able to add a customer, or you're meant to be able to add GST to the invoice, or whatever it is. Just go and test it. I haven't given you all the steps, but you should be smart enough to work it out. Now, there's still a number of things I'd like sorted on this, but this is so much closer to what I want. I think that this is such a compelling story. Anyway, I want to just tell you about the feedback tools. I'll quickly just see if I can pull that open. Who's on TFS Preview? Who's using TFS Preview? That's great. All right, so we've got a quarter of the room. This is free. Well, it is free for a while anyway. But I think in our company we would probably have 70% of our projects running on this. So it's rock solid, and we've been doing it for more than a year on this stuff. What I want you to, you can view the backlog and view the board and all these type of things. I just want to show you this bit, request feedback. So if you want someone else, a stakeholder, to do this, I'll just do that and, wrong guy. There I am. And then I say, well, look, what do you want to do? I want to test a web app, and you give them the URL to the web app or a remote machine or a client. I could get them to do calculator. So there's calculator. I can put that, and I say, you know, smash this thing. And where do you want to focus the thing? Test addition. Yeah, e.g. 2 plus 2. All right.
And then I can preview that or just send that. And this then will go to their inbox. You reckon I should open up my inbox in front of you all? But you, oh, I may as well. Who cares? Yeah, gee. Hopefully my wife doesn't send me an email. Okay. Well, this is great. Their email thing is not very fast. Anyway, you'll get an email. The tester will get an email. It will have a link to the website. I'll just click on that website. Yes, I've got too many emails in my inbox. Yes, sorry. And I can't read them all, but please send me more email. Okay. Here is this, and normally this would have a link here to the app. In this case, this will say, if you don't have the tool, it will tell you to install it. I just find, now it's not going to work because it's OWA, can you believe that? But you can, it's not very clear, but if something is blocking it, something like OWA, you can just copy this and run, and then it will open up this tool. So there it is, and it will work a little bit like MTM. And so this is connecting onto my TFS server in this case. My TFS server is in the cloud, but yours might be locally. And here it is. Here's the app. Now, normally that you can just click on that because it's normally a URL. I don't use this style very often, but I'll just do what it tells me. It says open that up, smash it. Okay, next. It says test edition, all right. 2+2, yep. That's not very good, you know. And then you would say, what would I do? Screenshot. Look at that. Is that cool? What else could I do? I'll do this. As you can see, I'm trying to do 2+2, and it's giving me the wrong number. And then you press stop, and that's recorded everything I've done, you know. And there's put the file there. And I say, I'll give that a rating of 0, and next, and then thanks, and submit and close. That means that a stakeholder cannot give you a bad bug report, and it's in TFS. So, you like that? Yeah. Okay. So, all right, so there's all that type of stuff. I do want to tell you that there's one other thing I want to call out, and that's the PowerPoint storyboarding. So the PowerPoint storyboarding, I was involved in this in the very early days, and I remember being shocked that they decided to use PowerPoint because I was a Balsamiq guy and I wanted my solution to be in the web. But the more and more I've used this and I saw what the usability studies told, they actually pulled in all these Balsamiq guys to test the beta version of this and asked them for evals and that type of stuff. And I think 3/4 of the Balsamiq guys, something like that, preferred this tool over their current Balsamiq. So they brought people that had never used PowerPoint. I don't know how you find such a person. They brought people that had only used PowerPoint, never done Balsamiq, and basically the UI, those reviews were overwhelming that this was better. So you can just drag things on. So I can just drag on. I can do a SharePoint screen here. Look at that. I've done a screen. And I can drag on this thing. Oh, hey, start menus. You can't have start menus anymore. That's illegal. So Stephen Sinofsky will kill me. All right, so you got a look, that's a Windows 8 taskbar down the bottom. And actually, I'm creating this new thing that's going to have a phone and SharePoint as one. Okay. Anyway, you can see that's pretty cool and pretty simple. All right. So that's PowerPoint storyboarding. There's a whole lot more that I didn't go through, which I debated where I was going to put in. But there's a whole lot of Windows 8 stuff, Windows 8 phone. There's a whole lot of stuff for Azure, which we've been using a fair bit. It works beautifully with all these, with offline, so there's none of these pop-ups that we had before. You have these local workspaces now, which is very much like what everyone's been asking for when they want Git type support. Since then, there's been more Git support place where you run Git locally. There's Lightswitch, which
I had zero interest in until they've now released all the HTML5 support. So that might have a nice place to automatically do all your lookup tables, but or maybe we'll replace our, we won't be needed anymore. Everyone's going to be doing light switch apps. There's lots, this is very close to my heart, all the SharePoint stuff. There's lots of SharePoint developer stuff in there now, and it's going to get better with 2013. There's a whole lot of backlog tools on that TFS preview, and there's the My Work thing, which I didn't show you. It's all pretty cool. If you're in the middle of coding and you have to fix something else, you can just now press suspend. It saves everything, breakpoints, exactly as it is right now. And then you close it, and then you can open it later on. All right, and there's a whole lot of JavaScript debugging improvements. There's extensions for PowerShell, and there's all these tools for code and architecture reviews, and that is what I'll be covering in my next session. So there's a few resources. Be aware. I'll tell you one thing that I love, that you can suggest anything on user voice, but even better, if you have a bug, talking about bad bug reports, last thing I want to show you. If you've got a bad bug report, and obviously don't use it to submit Glimpf bugs, but what you would use, if you want to, if something here is not working correctly, you choose this and it doesn't work correctly, then you can go to the help, report a bug. Watch what I'm doing because this won't be on your machine. Report a bug and this thing will pop up. And then you have to sign in and go straight into Connect with screen captures and other stuff. I will always encourage you to make that public. And then it will. So you won't have this on your machine. How do you get it? How do you get Mr. Glimpf? Have a guess. How do you get it? Yes, you go to the visual. It's not called the store. We're not cool like that. It's called the extension manager. Okay. I know we. Yes. So Mr. Glimpf would look down here for App Store. Where's App Store? Yes. All right. No, it's called extensions. All right. And yes. And yeah, you'll. Where is it? Oh, anyway. There it is, the feedback tool. It's called the feedback tool. So once you install the feedback tool, you start looking everywhere for feedback somewhere, but you can't find it because it's actually under report a bug. All right. Great. Great experience. Okay. So let's. Just in summary, what I took you through was the history, some IDE improvements. Hopefully you like the IDE. There is lots of performance tweaks everywhere. I think you'll enjoy that. Lots of developer goodies. I mainly went through the web stuff, but most of it is transcends web, the unit testing, the IntelliTrace, the exploratory testing, the feedback tools, and the storyboarding. Thank you very much, guys.
Beer.